Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. My friend, if you believe, becoming a Christian will protect you from suffering physically, financially, or socially, you would do well to avoid Christianity altogether. In the first century of the Christian era, countless thousands of men and women were martyred for their convictions. They often suffered the loss of status in their community and were even robbed of their property and goods. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth. Hebrews 11:37-38. Is it possible you and I could experience the same suffering? The Apostle Peter writes, "Forasmuch then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." 1 Peter 4:1. The central theme of 1 Peter is suffering for righteousness' sake. Our great example of suffering is the Lord Jesus Christ. "For hereunto were you called," that is, to suffer, "because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps." 1 Peter 2:21. But our suffering, even when it is for righteousness' sake, is different from Christ's suffering. Christ suffered for us, that is, in our stead. His suffering and death were substitutionary. But God commends his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. Modernistic theologians often deny that Christ's suffering was vicarious or substitutionary, but there is no question about the Bible's teaching on that topic. Peter affirms that Christ, in his own self, bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. Without the death of Christ for our sins, salvation would not be possible. Christians are instructed to arm ourselves with the same mind, that is, with a mind willing and ready to suffer for the kingdom of God. The Greek word arm, haplizo, suggests putting on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to combat the devil and his cohorts. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil." Ephesians 6:10-11. We're told to arm ourselves with the same mind which Jesus possessed. Paul told the Philippians, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Philippians 2:5. If we are to become like Christ, we must learn to think like him. The Apostle Peter added, "For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." Peter was not arguing that all suffering is honorable and will bring blessings to the sufferer. The suffering must be for righteousness' sake. But when a man has suffered in the flesh, has he completely ceased sinning? The answer is no. But sin no longer has dominion over his life. Romans 5:14. We all sin and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. But we cease allowing sin to be on the throne of our hearts. The Apostle John puts all of this in the right perspective. "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." 1 John 2:1. Dr. Charles Williams gives this translation of 1 John 3:9. "No one who is born of God makes a practice of sinning, because the God-given principle continues in him, and so he cannot practice sinning because he is born of God." Thank you for listening, and may God richly bless you.